Welcome again to So You Want to Be Mayor on South Bay Sunday. And our special guest this morning, Pierluigi Oliverio, the council member for District 6 in San Jose. Nice to have you in here.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It's a treat to talk to you and to find out about your district and then your plans for San Jose. Let's start with District 6. Tell us about the people there.
Sure. Well, District 6 is a eclectic gathering of people from all over the world. Actually, it's a quite diverse area. And I represent the Greater Santana Row, Greater Rose Garden, and Greater Willow Glen areas of San Jose. And this is actually also the area that I grew up in and went to K through 12 public school and then onward to San Jose State. But it's also unique in that we have true neighborhood business districts like Lincoln Avenue, the Alameda, West San Carlos, and it's near the center of the city.
Well, I'm a Lincoln Lion. Are we enemies or?
Well, I'm a Willow Glen Ram, but I also went to Hoover.
Okay. Oh, well, I went to Hoover. So, okay. We have that in common.
Yeah.
Very nice school and both the other schools too. But Lincoln has really come along over the years.
Absolutely.
Now you've got the Rose Garden District too, which is a very fine area.
Yeah. No, the Rose Garden is a beautiful area of older homes. Majestic and very great architectural quality. And then we also obviously it's the home to the Municipal Rose Garden, which under my tenure has gone from worst rose garden in the United States to number one rose garden in the United States and to where we even got international awards last year at the same time. Countries like England and New Zealand were getting awards.
And it's just about that time of year.
Yeah, especially come May, come Mother's Day, the garden is absolutely beautiful. Obviously, with this weather, we'll probably have blooms much faster. But it's a phenomenal gem in San Jose.
So, okay, in your district, how does that apply to the city of San Jose? In other words, extrapolate District 6 and tell us how, as mayor, what you've done in District 6 would apply with regard to the entire city.
Sure. Well, as a council member, you're sort of focused on your district, but you also, in my view, always have to have the larger view, of the entire city. So I've taken the time to do that. So when you have for perhaps interest groups that are trying to push you to just be only about your district, you got to be concerned about the rest of the city. And so, I've always been one to go to the budget meetings in every city council district or doing tours of other council districts with the council members themselves to understand the needs and desires. But we've done great things as far as positive development on Lincoln Avenue that have added, now a fountain plaza with this enhanced open space really brings a lot of pleasure to people. And at the same time, we now have patio dining out there. And all that was just allowing, private investment to come in and not hold it back. And I think that's been very positive. Obviously, we've seen the continued success of Santana Row, not just for the district, but also for the city. Obviously, it brings in people from up the peninsula that come to San Jose and spend money. And obviously, that sales tax revenue that is able to help us pay for city services. So that's been a fantastic thing. And the Alameda continues to improve. That's the main artery from the downtown. And, we have a Whole Foods grocery store under construction. We have new retail coming in, new development coming in. So I think, years from now, we're going to see a further enhanced Alameda.
Yeah, we're talking about revenue. So as long as we're in the revenue department, that's a big issue in San Jose. The last several years, it's been pretty tough. How do you see revenue enhancement and how do you see how we're going to spend it?
Yeah, I think revenue enhancement is always key. And this for cities like San Jose, the big thing is property tax and sales tax. And so we need to continue to for example, I've voted against every single development that's been exempt from property tax. So the city council oftentimes approves housing developments that are approved exempt from property taxes. I think that's inherently unfair because it means the new people get a free ride while the current residents get less because you split the pie. So I think we have to be cognizant of that. And I think it's also cautious when it comes to spending. When I was on the council, we were going to spend $1.6 million on software for this one department. And coming from a semiconductor and software background myself, I said, that's kind of odd for $1.6 million. So I raised some flags and gave suggestions on what to do. And then lo and behold, based on my suggestions, staff came back and we only spent $125,000 instead of $1.6 million. So we had a cost savings of $1.475 million. And I think that's what happens when you have a city council that's comprised of a variety of people. And some of those folks need to come from the high-tech industry like myself.
Yeah, conservative isn't something that is a glowing word when it comes to the way the city is run. Conservative views towards money are important. In the last few years, we've had a pretty conservative mayor. Do you endorse what he does, and does he endorse what you do?
We've been very supportive of each other. I would say whether you use the word conservative or fiscally pragmatic, yeah, I was raised in a household where my father grew up during the Depression, so I don't believe in spending money I don't have nor borrowing incessantly because we've already have billions of dollars of borrowed money in the city of San Jose from past mayors. And, you know, it's going to be a challenge to pay that money off. And I think those are some of the things that the residents don't know, that we already spend tens of millions of dollars a year off the top just to pay down debt. And I think we just have to be cautious of what we spend on. And then people running for office, whether it's city council or mayor, you know, can't make promises they can't keep. You hear that constantly about people that either want to, you know, improve the schools when we absolutely have nothing to do with schools. Schools are their own governing body. It actually says it in the city charter. We don't do anything about hiring a teacher or extending the day. And at the same time that, you know, if people want to add, for example, X amount of police officers, you can't do it out of thin air. You have to do it with money. So that's why I told the city council we should allocate a minimum amount of money for the police budget so it's set in stone. Because if I don't set it in stone, then we go spend it on things that aren't necessarily a core service. And I think we've seen those mistakes get repeated in the past.
You see those words thrown around all the time, though. You know, what you mentioned about schools, and that's very true. In fact, we had Mohammed Chaudhry in last week talking about the Silicon Valley Education Foundation Mayor's Forum and the fact that although he's throwing a mayor's forum, and he did, the mayor can't do very much about schools in the first place. So it's kind of interesting that he had the mayor's forum. It is always good to know what a future mayor might be thinking.
Sure. I mean, it's self-serving for their organization to maybe get some notoriety by sponsoring the forum to get these folks to show up that are running for mayor. But the reality is, again, we have independently elected school boards.
Mm-hmm.
And those residents, if they like or dislike what the school district is doing, it's done through their elected school board members. It's just a complete waste of time for one level of government to get involved in another level of government. I should do what I'm supposed to do well, and that's what I'm trying to do, stay focused.
Well, we're all children, so teach us. You know, we're kids. We want our toys, you know, and when it comes to the budget, sometimes we don't want them to have their toys, but we want to have ours. And one of the big ones in the sandbox is law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that the fiscal reality has hurt law enforcement as they see it. And a lot of law officers, the guys who would vote for you, the guys who would endorse you, the guys who would donate to your campaign, may not be happy about money being cut for their benefit, for their benefits, as a matter of fact, in their retirement.
Well, I think the reality in San Jose is, when, as I mentioned earlier, our number one source of revenue is property tax.
Yeah.
That amount of money per year is approximately $200 million. My annual pension payment is $270 million. So that is a recipe for instability.
Yeah.
And San Jose is just realistically revenue poor because we're mostly housing. As I mentioned, some of it exempt from property tax. So I don't have the tax base to come up and make the difference. So what we were faced with were residents that said, I don't want to pay taxes. When you look at the residents, they all don't work for the city. They don't all receive a pension. So then you have to deal with how they view it. And when they're on Social Security and their 401k and they realize they're not getting that type of benefit, they don't want to pay for that. So I think that's the dilemma we're in. I mean, if residents were clamoring to say, you know, God, I'd really love to pay more in taxes to continue the pension system and benefit for a few and not get any city services or less of them.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't hear that. We hear live within your means.
Talking to Pierluigi Oliverio, the District 6 council member for the city of San Jose, running for mayor of San Jose. I was having dinner with a longtime friend of mine, a Lincoln graduate, the other night, and he lives in Willow Glen, and his big complaint was that crime seems to be up in Willow Glen, and he thinks that police services are down. That's a citizen talking.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to him?
Well, what I'd say to him is you know, when crime had occurred in the 80s and other decades, when it obviously did, we didn't have the ability to spread that information around so quickly via email groups and social media. So now any time a negative thing happens to anyone, everybody knows. But I would say that, again, we have to have a minimum amount of spending in our budget for police regardless of what the revenue is. So I proposed on the city council a couple weeks ago, we spend currently 29% of our general fund on police. I thought we should spend more. So I raised the question, hey, let's spend more and let's fix it. My colleague said, oh, that's way too much money. And I said, okay, instead of a higher number, which I proposed, I said, let's go smaller and be incremental. Let's increase that police budget 1% a year, every year for 6 years, so we grow from 29% to 35%. It's modest growth. It allows me to not slash and burn other city departments to get there, and it would be guaranteed. But my colleagues were not willing to put the money to where their priorities are verbally, and I think that's a sad state of affairs. I understand it can be political because I'm running for mayor, and no one wants to support that. But you know, we voted on other things to support X amount of officers, but absolutely zero funding is behind it. And so I'm sort of, you know, it's either put up or shut up.
Mm-hmm.
You can't talk all day about adding X number of people in any given city department unless you allocate the money. And if we're going to continue to do golf courses, Hayes Mansion, Mexican Heritage Plaza, those are not core priorities of a city. Law enforcement is.
That's an interesting way of putting it, you know, and it's interesting to me because, you know, I talk to Chuck Reed a lot, and I have to say I hear Chuck Reed when I hear you talk right now because you're talking about hard, cold facts and you're not blowing any smoke. And that's refreshing because it's a tough thing to hear. But even though Chuck Reed was up for re-election 4 years ago, he still said the tough things. And a lot of people have knocked him for it. You know, the fact that, well, that's just the hard times. You're going to have to deal with it. And this is a budget and we're going to have to cut it. And it's tough, but that's the way it is. And that's what I'm hearing with you, which I find fascinating because you're running for office. And I'm wondering how that's working out for you when you talk to voters.
Well, I think, you know, it depends on the voter. But I think most voters want the truth. I think they are starting to smell, they're telling me I can have everything. That seems pretty cool. Wait a minute. That doesn't seem right. And I think they want to be leveled with. You know, I was at the media endorsement process. And, you know, the question is, you know, will you solve homelessness? And I just don't think we can. There are issues that permeate in society that are bigger than any individual city that resonate around the world. And, you know, we try our best, but it's also we have to remember what is it that we're supposed to do as a city. And my charter is very specific. We do things like law enforcement. We do roads. We do sewers. We do libraries. We do public works. That's what I need to do versus getting, you know, trying to do the county's job or the school's job or the state's job.
All right. In May, libraries are a good part of our education. What do you got going on?
So in May, on May 5th at City Hall, I believe it's at 6:30 p.m., I'm hosting the first showing in the United States of a documentary called Free for All. And it is a documentary on the public library system. And we will have the director there doing Q&A, and it'll be a great opportunity to view this documentary that talks about the value of the library system. And I've always sponsored a series of documentary films because I find it's a great way to talk about city issues, whether it's urban planning or parks or the environment, et cetera. And so that'll be going on May 5th, 6:30 p.m. at City Hall.
One of my wife's biggest gripes is about the money we spend on – the millions we spend on libraries. And we have this debate all the time. And so what about that? The money we spend on libraries, a lot of people think it's a big waste of money.
Well, yeah. Actually, it's funny. I've heard that more and more as people have access to the internet. They say, well, I don't go there anymore. And frankly, we find that true in different areas of San Jose, depending on income, the activity level in libraries. But you know, we have beautiful libraries paid for by voter-approved bonds. And the reality, those facilities should be open up 7 days a week with a different model than we have today. So for example, 95% of the patrons go into a library, find the item they're looking for, go to the self-checkout machine, and walk out the door. So it's not the library when you and I were kids and we were doing a book report on penguins and we needed the librarian to walk us through all the material.
Spend the afternoon there.
Yeah. Now it operates truly more like a bookstore. So we just need to allow it to be open. And how we can do that is by allowing residents of San Jose or any other community to volunteer in the library in a way that's not restricted by the union, that allows us to augment current staff with no layoffs, but allows them to now keep the facility open longer because we'll just have the same paid library staffing, but now we're going to add on different volunteers, whether it's putting books back on a shelf or just part of the job is making sure no nefarious activity is going on in
right.
The library. And, you know, and think about, you know, libraries that are closed on Saturdays. If a parent-teacher organization, parent group from a school wanted to volunteer in that library that day, allow the library to be open for their students but also the general public. That's where we need to go to because it's a crying shame that we've spent millions of dollars on libraries and they're not open when they easily can be.
We're down to a couple of minutes here. I want to give you time to plug Shakespeare, which is happening in June at Willow Street Park.
Correct.
So that's very cool. And that's one thing that I took from my education, the love of Shakespeare.
So this is a free Shakespeare in San Jose. it, though mostly known as Willow Street Park, but also called Frank Bramhall Park.
Right.
It's on Willow, and it's a natural grass amphitheater. And last year we had Shady Shakespeare, and they're not felons. Shady refers that they perform outside. And we were hoping for 2,000 people last year. We got 4,300. A lot of families picnicking, really enjoying it. So they're coming back, and that'll be starting June 13th. And it'll run for 3 weeks. And we're also potentially having San Jose Opera. We'll do one night. We'll do an outside performance there as well. And we're looking forward to that event. It's just a fantastic, very affordable way to bring Shakespeare to San Jose.
You got a website we can check?
SJDistrict6.com. SJDistrict6.com. And that's the city website where you see the information about Shakespeare.
So from this, I would take income, revenue is number one for you. What are the other four?
Well, coming from a private sector business background, you can't do anything without money, and I think that flows to government as well. So, yeah, so economic development, law enforcement, and then, you know, efficient use of government, you know, maximizing every dollar possible, you know, as far as what to get me. You know, years back when the Rose Garden was, you know, in this terrible state, I proposed, you know, competitive bidding to have a private contractor come and take care of the park. And actually, none of the folks running for mayor would support me. But eventually we got there and we outsourced or competitively bid our parks that are under 2 acres to a private landscaping company. And that line item used to be approximately $4.2 million, and it came down to $1.3 million. So we had a 3-to-1 cost savings, and the quality service has been fantastic. So that means I have more money to spend on something else, whether you think it's libraries or police officers.
So dollars are competing for your attention.
Yeah, it's all about providing the most bang for the buck.
All right. It's all about the competition. Good luck in the competition, the mayoral competition. Pierluigi, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Sam.
Pierluigi Oliverio, candidate for mayor for the city of San Jose from District 6. And that's our South Bay Sunday for another week. I'm Sam Van Zandt. Thanks for joining us. Hope to see you next week here on South Bay Sunday.